Okay, so we're diving into Kolker v. Hurwitz. Sounds kind of dry, right? Like just another property line dispute.
Yeah, you'd think so, but
But stick with us, folks, because this one is a doozy. It shows how even a solid case can get tripped up on procedure. We've got excerpts, case briefs, the whole shebang to unpack what happened and what it means, especially for those of you out there who, are all about understanding how law actually plays out in the real world.
absolutely. It's a real masterclass in how procedure can make or break your case. Like, the what of your argument is important, sure, but the how you go about it is just as crucial.
Right, so let's rewind back to 1985. Our guy, Kolker, buys some land in Palmas del Mar, Puerto Rico. Beautiful spot, perfect for a vacation home.
Sounds idyllic.
Right, but there's this catch, a restrictive covenant on the property. Basically, a neighborhood agreement to protect the green spaces, keep things looking nice for everyone.
Yeah, these covenants are super common in planned developments. They stick with the land, so not just the original buyer, but anyone who owns it later is bound by these rules about what they can and can't do.
So, life happens, right? Kolker's wife passes away between 92 and 2007. Construction plans get put on hold. Years pass. Then he finds out his neighbor, Hurwitz, has built a whole bunch of stuff on that protected green area. We're talking a pool, a gazebo, a generator, even a garbage receptacle.
Oof, not ideal.
Not ideal at all. And get this, Hurwitz was planning even more construction, like a guest house.
So clear violation of the covenant there, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
September 2009, Kolker files a lawsuit, sues Hurwitz, also Surfside Development Corp, and Palmas Del Mar Properties, probably the developers behind the community of the covenant, wants the court to enforce the covenant, put a stop to any more building, and maybe get some damages for the encroachment.
Makes sense. Wants to protect his property rights.
Exactly. Now here's where the procedural stuff gets interesting. One of Kolker's first moves was to ask for a declaratory judgment.
Ah, asking the court to officially declare that Hurwitz broke the covenant.
Right. Seems straightforward, right? But the court said, not so fast.
Yeah, because declaratory judgments, they're not about looking back and assigning blame for past stuff. The Declaratory Judgment Act needs a current, live controversy, you know? The court saw that Kolker was focused on what Hurwitz had already done, not on some immediate threat that needed sorting out.
So, takeaway number one, folks, declaratory relief is not about saying, hey, you did me wrong before. It's about figuring out current rights and duties when there's a live dispute that needs a judge to clarify things.
It's about preventing future harm, not punishing past actions, especially when those actions are already completed.
Now, even though it seemed obvious that Hurwitz had broken this covenant, the court hinted that Kolker may have missed some specific steps on how to enforce these things under Puerto Rican law.
And this is huge, right? You can have the best argument in the world, but if you don't follow the procedure the jurisdiction sets out, it might not even matter.
It's like having a killer recipe, but you don't have the right oven to bake it in. Doesn't matter how good the ingredients are.
Perfect analogy. And with these covenants, there's probably specific rules in Puerto Rico about who needs to be told about the lawsuit, how they have to be served, all those nitty-gritty details. Miss one, and your whole case could crumble.
Okay, so Kolker made two kinds of claims. Breach of contract, saying Hurwitz broke the covenant, and tort, saying his property rights were harmed. See how those played out.
Okay, so the breach of contract claims, those were allowed to move forward, at least for the stuff already built. Court figured those structures being there was an ongoing violation of the covenant, so Kolker was still being harmed.
Makes sense. What about the tort claims?
Those got dismissed. Statute of limitations issue. This is key for anyone dealing with law. In Puerto Rico, you've got 1 year to file a tort claim. Those are claims for wrongs that aren't based on a contract. Since the construction happened way before Kolker sued, those claims were too late. Time limit had passed.
Missed the deadline. Okay, so what about future plans like the guest house? Could he claim damages for that?
Nope, court said no to that too, at least not yet. No actual harm had happened from something not yet built. You can't get damages for something that hasn't actually affected you yet.
Damages are about what you've already lost, not what you might lose, right?
Exactly. Now, we've got to talk about the service of process on the Hurwitzes. This was a big misstep.
Yeah, instead of serving Charles and Barbara Hurwitz directly with the lawsuit papers like they were supposed to,
Yeah.
the process server just left them with a security guard at their apartment complex.
Big no-no. The court said that wasn't even close to proper service. Didn't meet the federal rules of civil procedure, didn't meet Puerto Rican law where the case was, didn't even meet Texas law where the service happened. Each of these has rules on how you tell someone they're being sued so they can respond. Just leaving papers with a security guard. Not gonna cut it.
So, what happened? Because they messed that up.
The case against the Hurwitzes was dismissed. However, and this is important, it was dismissed without prejudice. Meaning, Kolker could try again if he serves them correctly next time, shows how crucial it is to get that initial service right. It's like the foundation of a house. You mess that up, nothing built on top will stand.
Like showing up to a race after the starting gun has already gone off. You're out of luck.
Exactly. The court has to have what's called personal jurisdiction to make decisions that affect someone. Proper service is how you usually establish that.
But it wasn't all bad news for Kolker, was it?
No, the court did allow him to amend his complaint against the other defendants, the development companies, so he got another chance to refine his arguments against them.
So even with the procedural hiccups, they gave him a chance to fix his case against those companies.
Shows how the legal system tries to balance following the rules with making sure cases are decided fairly. FRCP 15 encourages that, giving parties the freedom to adjust their claims if it helps achieve justice.
All right, let's recap some key concepts here for everyone listening. We touched on the statute of limitations. That one-year deadline for tort claims really tripped Kolker up. But the contract claims, those could potentially go on much longer because the covenant creates ongoing duties. So knowing what kind of claim you have and how long you have to file it is super important.
Right. Miss that deadline and you might lose your chance to sue entirely.
Then we've got Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 15. The court letting Kolker amend his complaint shows how the system wants cases decided on their merits, not technicalities, as long as everyone's treated fairly. It's about giving folks a real chance to argue their case.
And finally, we've got jurisdiction and service of process. Kolker v. Hurwitz screams how important it is to know the rules of every place involved in your case. Federal rules, state laws, local rules, the whole nine yards. Ignoring those can have massive consequences, like we saw with the Hurwitzes being dismissed.
So big picture, folks. Kolker v. Hurwitz shows that how you go about things in law is just as important as what you're arguing. You can have the best argument, but if you stumble on procedure, like missing a deadline or messing up service, your case could be sunk.
It's like forgetting to wear your running shoes to a marathon. Doesn't matter how fast you could have been.
Exactly. It also highlights how tools like the Declaratory Judgment Act have specific uses, like needing a current controversy. And it digs into the subtleties of enforcing covenants, like the difference between past harm and ongoing violations.
And the big takeaway for everyone listening is, when dealing with the law, know your deadlines, serve your papers right, and understand the rules of the game.
It leaves us with a question for you to ponder. How might knowing about these procedural pitfalls change how you analyze legal situations or think about potential legal actions in the future? Food for thought as you navigate the often complex world of law.
Definitely something to keep in mind. Cases like this remind us that law is about more than just knowing the rules. It's about knowing how to apply them correctly.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, folks, that's our deep dive for today. Until next time, stay informed and stay sharp.
And remember, procedure matters.